is 9 a.m. Assessor Commissioner's Court, Monday, October 16, 2017, second floor of the Brooks County Courthouse Courtroom. This is an open meeting. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. Roll call, precinct one.
Gloria Garza, County Commissioner, precinct one.
Vincent Vargas, County Commissioner, precinct two.
Armando Olivares, Brooks County Commissioner, precinct three.
Tony Martinez, Brooks County Commissioner, precinct four.
Brooks County Judge Imelda Barrera, along with the county clerk's office. County auditor's not here today. Let us begin with open comments, public comments, sorry. Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir, go ahead.
I'm doing this as a public comment because the meeting was today. Something occurred on Friday, so there was no time to put it on the meeting. As far as a part-time employee from Encino being cut to 10 hours, I was informed of this on Saturday. His hours were not in the budget. I don't understand how that would happen if we don't do a budget as going employee by employee, you know, stating this employee, yes, is in the budget, this one's not. As far as being a part-time employee, he is entitled to 28 hours. Why he's cut to 10, I don't understand. Okay, if he wasn't in the budget, we did not budget for an agenda clerk. We did not budget for a part-time secretary for Road and Bridge, okay? As far as that goes, we're discriminating against that part-timer. We have a handful of part-timers in the county, which I believe is no more than five, okay? Why he's being cut, I don't understand. I'll put it on the agenda for the next meeting, but I did want to do this so that it can be in the minutes because it did occur on Friday, and I don't want for us to drop the ball on that. I'd hate for us to be investigated or sued for discrimination against him, because as a part-timer he is entitled to 28 hours. And as far as I understand, one of the employees from Road and Bridge went to landfill, so there should be that money in there to cover that part-timer. So as far as that goes, I just needed to say that because I don't want us to get in trouble. The commissioner court is run by four commissioners and one judge, and I feel that we need to make decisions as a group, not as individuals with commissioners and the auditor. You know, we all need to be informed of these things that are occurring in the county. Okay?
Thank you, sir. Anyone else for public comments? I don't know if you all read last week's Buffer's facts in reference to the letter that was submitted by Pedro Rodriguez from Encino. And he talked about how he didn't have, how Encino did not have representation from a school trustee, commissioner, other items, other things. But when it comes to taxes and all that, I think that if we look at what's been going on for the last 10 years, maybe 8 to 10 years, the same people have been serving on the appraisal board. And although they managed to blame other people, like a commissioner or a school board trustee, I think the people that sit on the appraisal board have a lot to do with how things are run, especially when it comes to appraisals and all that, and whatever they do there. So when we appoint individuals, it'd be good to understand how the public feels about all this. Anyway, that's my public comment. Let's go to, we're going to be waiting for Dr. Casa. She's line item two. That was line item one. Okay, line item five. Discuss, consider an act on the 2018 holiday schedule. This was tabled on the regular commissioner's court meeting, October 10th, 2017, line item 37. Were y'all able to review those holidays?
Yes.
I did.
Okay. How about the rest?
Were we gonna, what do you think about the Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday for December 24th, 25th, and 26th? The 24th is on a Sunday.
The 24th is on a Sunday, that's an error?
Because it says Monday here.
This one's for next year? So we already got the one.
Yeah, for this year, we've already. This is for next year.
Yeah, this is for 2018.
That's 2018.
2018.
Okay. 2018, Christmas is on Tuesday. Okay. Usually we get Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, and
after Christmas.
It's up to the commissioner's court to see what they want.
Let's do the same thing that we're doing for the Thanksgiving Day, half a day. For Christmas, on the 24th, work half a day.
So you want half day on Christmas Eve?
Yes.
Work half day.
The 24th?
Yes, ma'am.
Anything else?
That's about it that I can see.
Yeah, I don't see anything else. That was my concern there.
Okay. Do I have a motion to approve the following schedule for 2018 with the exception of Monday, December 24th? That would be one half a day instead of
yes.
Full day.
Right.
Okay. Are we all in agreement?
I am.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The rest of us? Okay. Do you have a motion to approve the 2018 holiday
right
schedule?
Here.
Motion by Martinez. Second?
Second.
Second by Garza. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion approved. Line item 6, discuss, consider an act on the submission of the 2017 tax rule as per 26.09E of the Texas Property Tax Code. Terry?
Good morning.
Good morning, ma'am.
Okay, this is the submission of the 2017 tax roll according to 26.09E of the Texas Property Tax Code. And as you can see, the attached pages in the back are the summary pages in the back of the tax roll, and it explains our levy totals, our assessed totals, which is basically what you get from your certified tolls that we get from the appraisal office. I'm going to go ahead and read this to y'all. The 2017 tax roll is submitted for approval under Section 26.09E of the Texas Property Tax Code and was calculated in compliance with the same code by multiplying the values from the certified appraisal roll plus minus any changes in value approved by the Brooks County Appraisal Review Board by the tax rate adopted by this governing body for the 2017 tax year. Values and taxes are a ratio of 100% appraised value. The 2017 tax roll for Brooks County is stored in the Brooks County Tax Office in compliance with the state records retention guidelines. A copy of the tax roll for reference purposes and convenient availability is filed with the Brooks County Clerk's Office. I, Terry A. Sivas, Brooks County Chief Deputy Tax Assessor Collector, hereby certify the figures from the 2017 tax roll as reflected on the attached summary page taken directly from the 2017 tax roll. I certify that the foregoing information and the roll it represents is accurate and correct to the best of my knowledge. Our total taxable value is $537,691,245. Our total assessed is $575,080,939. And this is certified and submitted this 16th day of October 2017. Any questions?
Questions?
None.
All right. Do you have a motion to approve?
Motion.
Motion by Garza. Second?
Second.
Second by Olivares. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion approved. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Line item 3. Discuss, consider an act on a resolution signed at the regular commissioner's court meeting October 10th, 2017 in reference to line item 35. There being an administrative error, therefore voiding the resolution. This is basically, we're going to redo this again. It is as a deadline of today. So the resolution that was signed by me on that date was incorrect. So that would be void. Do you have a motion to approve voiding this resolution?
Motion.
Motion by Garza.
Second.
Second by Olivares, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion approved. All right, line item four, discuss, consider an act on a resolution nominating two representatives from Brooks County to serve as Brooks County Appraisal District Directors for the years 2018-2019 for a motion made at the regular commissioner's court held on October 10, 2017. Line item 35.
So do you want to serve?
Yes, I do.
Okay. I don't have a problem.
All right. Get this tax roll.
And you need another representative? Raul is the other representative.
No, I don't. I'd like someone that has that's serving on the commissioner's court because they're the ones that, y'all are serving on the commissioner's court. I think you should represent, not someone that's outside of the
commissioner's court.
Of the entity. I think we need changes, and I think...
Anybody interested in serving? The meetings are every once a month on Tuesday, sometimes twice a month, and they're at 6:30.
Terry, can you serve? Go. Right.
You'd be good.
Yeah.
Very knowledgeable. Is that a yes?
I heard a yes there. The meetings are like 45 minutes, sometimes 30 minutes.
Why don't we go down to this? Tony?
I want to see if I can nominate Noe Guerra.
To serve?
To serve the...
To serve?
Noe Guerra.
The appraisal
sure,
district?
That sounds good too. Okay. Yes?
Yes?
Armando?
I think Terry has the knowledge with the thing close to taxes and all of that, so...
But you don't want it?
Well, I'm just stating my opinion, just like you did.
Yeah.
I think you would be good, Terry.
I think she would be
good. Or else you would jump and say, yeah, we'll take it, but she's like, paused.
She's thinking about it.
Yes, sir?
That's,
all right.
No. So Terry, yes?
The nomination...
Okay.
Very good.
The nomination of Noe Guerra and Terry Silva. That sounds good. Are y'all okay with that?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Do you have a motion to approve Noe Guerra and Terry
right here.
S. Silva? Wait, Terry Silva.
Terry Silva.
Okay. All right. Motion by Martinez. Second.
Second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion approved. Awesome. Okay. Okay. Ready, ma'am? Line item two, presentation by Dr. Casas. Welcome, ma'am. Come on up. Podium.
No.
Okay, good morning.
Good morning.
Let me just quickly... I'm going to get started, and I'll give you the handouts. I know them from memory. Good morning, Honorable Judge and Commissioner Court. I am humbly addressing you with something that's coming up to our community, to our district, to our city of Alfurrias, as well as impacting to our Bruce County ISD. I'd like to bring to your attention the upcoming... tax ratification election that is coming November 7th. I know our community has some misunderstanding, thinking that we're going to be raising taxes in this election because they think it's too good to be true that with this tax ratification election, we'll be getting the state funding from the state. So they're thinking, what do you mean that no taxes are being increased when you're going to be gaining some money? So this is too good to be true. They're confused. And I wanted to bring clarification because I know that you have a sphere of influence. You are part of this community. I know that your role also has an impact in our district, in our children, as well as in administration. And I'd like to bring you that the state imposes, or my, the, not the state imposes, the district can collect on two taxes. One is considered the MNO, maintenance and operations. What is MNO is to run the district. Do I have a time limit?
Yes. No, go ahead, ma'am.
Okay.
We need to, for you, we need to hear all this.
Okay, thank you, appreciate it. Uh-huh. So you have what is called maintenance and operation, and it's to run the school district. That is the day-to-day operations of running a district, teacher salaries, and all that goes in running a school district. The other tax is called INS, debt service, interest and sinking. That is the debt that the board, I mean, the voters approve for the renovation and upgrades, as well as the construction of the new schools. That is the debt service, the traditional INS. So those two taxes are composed. Last year, we had $1.04 for the MNO, and we had 53 cents on debt service. That alone was $1.57 last year. This year, the board is proposing through this election, only the voters can reaffirm. If not, we're going to go back to the original, what is traditionally the $1.04 and the 50 cents. This year, the district is going to be recommending through the election or the voters, and it has to be through voters. That the board can only recommend and approve a resolution, the tax ratification election, call the election so the voters can approve. Have I lost you so far?
No, ma'am.
So there's two taxes. Right now, what the board is recommending in this resolution of the election is that we swap, we exchange 13 cents. Why? If we leave it as it is, the $1.04, like last year's, and the 53 cents, that doesn't generate any additional state funding. But if we swap 13 cents, we'll be moving from the debt service, which has been recommended this school year, to be at 50 cents and $1.04. That's the original plan. With a decrease, you notice of 3 cents. So now swapping 13 cents, that will give the MNO $1.70 and the debt service 37 cents. So when you put those together, $1.04 plus 13 cents, $1.17 plus the 33 cents, because we swap the 37 cents because we're swapping 13 cents, now we are $1.54. Have I lost you? $1.17 plus 37, $1.54. By swapping those 13 cents, you are actually generating, the state is going to recognize our effort, our district effort, our community effort. By swapping those 13 cents, the state will generate, in additional state funding for the district, approximately $500,000, $500,000. If the voters decide not to approve it, they are against it, we'll go back to the $1.04 plus the 50 cents. It's still the same tax, you notice. $1.54, but no state funding. Leaving as it is does not generate state funding. By swapping, it does generate the $500,000. Well, what happens to the debt service? You move 13 cents over here. We're going to give it back. Those 13 cents, we're going to swap them over here so we can tell the state, look, the district is making an effort to increase those 13 cents, and by so we qualify and generate $500,000. The district is only trying to maximize, strategically be more efficient and effective in maximizing our financial resources. If the voters were to say no, then you go back to the $1.04 and the 50 cents. Same impact in the pockets of our voters, $1.54. But the state will not generate, will not give us additional funds. So the board are saying, well, you just recently refinanced. That's why we lowered the 3 cents from last year. It was 53. You lowered, so you probably refinanced it for more time. No, we kept the same time. The only thing that we did was take advantage of the rate, interest rate, going down. Now, remember that we don't have control of the appraisal. Yes, a board has an impact by having some members be part of the appraisal board. But they are the ones that, you know, in the appraisal system, we are generating more funding on our local appraised value, plus the decrease when we refinance, it lowers our interest. So now we are maximizing, and that's why we are actually 3 cents less than last year. So why am I here? I think it's important that we, that this city officials, county officials, and any stakeholder be informed and be, oh, I'm sorry, be informed of all the facts that is upcoming this election, and that has an impact. I'm also here to extend an invitation to join us on a spirit rally as well as a town hall meeting. And a spirit rally of coming together, where we bring the reason why are we here. Why is this community so vibrant? Because we depend, our children is the greatest treasure of any community. That's our future, and it's ongoing. We were at one time the future, and that's what you're now producing as citizens of this county, of this district, I mean, of this city. It's the same life cycle that our students will be going through. So here we are asking to join us, if you may, on October the 23rd. At 6 o'clock, we'll start the rally. At 6:30, we'll start a town hall meeting. And we're bringing in, because they say, remember, we just went through a reduction in force. Why did we win? What did the district is having to, why did they cut? Why didn't you do it before? I cannot answer what the past did, but I can tell you what together, as a team of eight, the Board of School Trustees, myself with administration, we did have to cut because we lost, and it wasn't the district in any way mismanaging any funds. It had to do with the state legislature, similar to what I think anyone is going through the city, through the county, through the federal government, losing funding. They did away with an additional state aid of tax compression, or tax ratification, as a TAR, tax reduction. We were in 2006 at $1.34. We were compressed to $1.04, so we lost 30 cents. And the state said, don't worry. The state will send you the difference of those 30 cents that as a community was the district you were collecting. So they will send us how much those 30 cents based on the current you were generating. What did that mean for last school year? $1.8 million. For this year, because of its values and everything, it would have been $1.2 million. And we denied those many districts, just like Brooks County ISD, were hoping that the state would reinstate that funding that would bring us those additional funding to the district. It didn't happen. They only happened a hardship grant. It's a one-time grant that we're going to get $500,000. We're still not at the level, and it's a one-time. This is a biennium. Every 2 years, our legislature gets together and talk to us about our finances, about our budget, about what the state is going to be sending to the districts. So we know for the next two, we're only getting that $500,000. That's all we're getting. So that's the reason that for us as a district, it is critical that we maximize our state funding. Locally, we're going to be taxed at $1.54 either way. But it's critical that we inform all of our stakeholders, our community members, of the importance why that tax swap is so critical to our children. And that's what we are proposing. We're asking to join us and be just part. You will not be questioned. We're just asking you to be there because we're going to have a lawyer who has a lot of knowledge on finance as a lawyer that will not let us do anything illegal, and it's not a district lawyer. This is an external attorney. I didn't want, well, what else can he say? He's the attorney of the district. This is Attorney O'Hanlon, who is not a district attorney. Our district attorney right now is a law firm of Juan Cruz, as well as Ecobam attorney. Those are the two attorneys that we work primarily. So we are asking to join us, as well as Doug Arnold, who has been from Texas Education Agency, as well as Education Service Center, and a guru in a school finance. We're asking to have a citizen of our district at one time, a graduate from Brooks County ISD, Dr. Almendares. We're asking him to join us because he also did a tax ratification election in maximizing. So I'm bringing people that can attest the importance of this election. I know that it was hard for our district having to do a reduction in force due to program changes. And that cut some personnel. I am happy to inform you that we also, we're forced to cut about 8 clerical positions. Out of those 8, we're able to sustain 6. Not at clerical level, but we certainly were able to keep them in our district in supporting instructional staff, instructional sources, instructional support, with teacher aides, primarily working with children. Yes, they lost some salary, but it was, I can assure you that from an hourly rate that maybe moved down from a pay grade 5 to a pay grade 2, they could have lost 15% or more. We were assured, thanks to the support of our board, of not more than 5% of the hourly rate. So that is what I'm bringing to you. I'm here to answer any questions that you may have.
Any questions?
In your hands, I have a flyer that has been legally reviewed and answering all the questions regarding. Many of the questions going to be asked, what's going to happen to me that I have exemptions, like a 65-year-old citizen? Those will not have no impact. And remember that what we're proposing in our district, either way, if voters say no, the tax rate remains the same of $1.54. The only impact that we'll have if they say yes, the district will generate additional state funding. We will continue to pay our debt service. We will not let go of that responsibility. One, because it will be illegal. Another one, eventually, they're going to come us asking for their payment. And we are committed to those payments by law and by voters' approval. Any questions, please?
Where is this town hall?
This town hall meeting will be at the Falfurrias High School at the cafeteria. You will not be putting any questions. We just ask you for your presence. And if you have any questions, be sure to ask us. But I wanted to come personally, and I'm very grateful of you for allowing me to speak to you, and especially to Judge Barrera for allowing me and putting me on the agenda. My doors are open. And I will be knocking on your doors, whether or not this election is, again, on the hands of the voters. But I really believe that it takes a village to raise a child. A parent alone cannot do it. A teacher alone cannot do it. The court system cannot do it by themselves. It takes a village. And as a village, we must come together and have some meetings. And we talk to each other, what can we do? Because I firmly believe that at one time, I was a promised youth, a promised student The people had hopes on me. And now I stand by you, humbly asking you to join me in making this district a world-class system. Our district has met all the standards in accountability. All these state mandates, we met it. But there's still, we can move from good to great. And right now, you're going to say, well, what are you doing with this additional funding if you already have a balanced budget? We don't know what the voters are going to say, and we are living in a very frugal. What we're going to ask is not to go more, spend $500,000. Right now, we have needs. One of them, you remember, when I came in, within a month, we were sending children, even before they went to high school, they were going to college, taking 6 hours, up to 6 hours, and getting them ready for the state testing, the college testing, the famous Texas Success Initiative, the test that a child must pass in order to enroll and not be enrolled in remedial classes and take regular college classes. Our students went there before they hit high school. In the transcript, they had a minimum of 3 hours up to 6 hours. And that continues. But you know what? It costs more money than just having classes in high school. So one of the priorities will be to continue our funding to dual credit courses. It's less expensive as parents. And again, it depends on the child. I am not recommending that every child should be going to university. But every child should take the opportunity to be college ready, that's non-negotiable, and workforce ready, as well as a state accountability, military ready. They will have the choices. We definitely are going to be putting our students that they commit. They can change their mind later in life, but they will be graduating with some career pathway. Because even if they go to university, just like I did, not even all your tuition scholarships will pay for all your expenses. So our kids can be workforce ready, and instead of working at a minimum wage, they could be earning more. So that is our commitment, that our children will be college ready, and not just, hey, you be ready to enroll. You have already taken courses with us at a university, or Texas State Technical College, Del Mar College, or Costuman College. We don't have boundaries in our district. We go knocking on doors where our children can be fully prepared. And that, I speak to you with someone of passion, someone that can relate to not being wanting to continue school because you didn't belong. You can tell my accent. I was born in the United States. I'm a proud American citizen, Mexican-American in my blood, carry Mexican blood. I was raised in Matamoros, border town. When I came with a top, like kind of the valedictorian from the elementary, to come back and be retained automatically in sixth grade. And because I did not learn the language in 1 year, was retained again. You feel embarrassed to see your sister get caught up with you. And then they also call you wetback. So I wanted to drop out. So here you are standing by you, a humble superintendent who knows what it is to be retained, who knows that now we call it bullying. At that time it was name calling, to be called wetback and tell you, go back where you belong, just because I had an accent. I firmly believe that is, I have humbly accepted this position because someone made a difference in me, and that was an educator. And it's time for me to continue paying forward and instill our kids the value of an education. So I ask you to join our forces together, because everyone as a team, together everyone accomplishes more. But I learned a bigger value from Falfurrias, and that's the value of family, of standing together. And that's what I appreciate the most. So thank you for the opportunity. Again, I ask you, do you have any questions? Thank you again. I hope to see you here next Monday.
Ms. Dr. Casas, how can we go about, as you being the leader for the school district, getting some help from the Congress, the way they helped the Fremont with $5 million, and they recruited from teachers from here to go 8 miles north to teach over there, and we have a good school as well. How can we prevent from that happening to us? Because I know that they need more pay, I understand that, but how can we help those teachers that left, or anyone that's leaving Brooks County to work 8 miles away, because we cannot afford to pay that teacher, and those teachers were loyal to Brooks County. How can we help that from not happening again?
Okay. We start what we're doing right now. First of all, maximizing our funding, because we have to, and one of the reasons I know I was criticized, what do you mean you gave $1,000 raise to teachers when you are having to let go people? Well, somebody were leaving for $10,000 more, and I don't blame them. I don't blame them because everyone has a responsibility in their homes. So I don't hold grudges. I respect them. I wish I could have retained them, and I couldn't. And you notice there were sometimes you said, well, you gave a teacher a $10,000 raise because there was funding. That's the only source in our district that is called state funding on the career and technology education. For those teachers, another district was willing to pay $10,000, but I had the same funding. It's called K funding. So why not utilize that funding and pay them the $10,000 so we could retain them? Now, what I don't have and they have is federal funding, but it's for districts that are struggling academically. And I don't think we want to be struggling academically to get those fundings. And they will only have those fundings, and it's going to help them. You can see the success. But those fundings are not available to us because it's available to struggling districts with academics. And they apply for those grants, and they're given. We don't meet the eligibility criteria for those fundings. But I can tell you right now, as a member of our district, we have tapped into two funding. One was a robotics grant, which is almost $100,000. The other grant recently for an LPN program. Our students not only will graduate with a CNA, if they so desire, they can graduate with a licensed vocational nurse certification. And that is the program, and we got about close to $250,000, $225,000 to be correct. That is equipment that we don't have to pay locally, and now we have in our districts. So you have our commitment. We applied for two more grants, and it's competitive. We didn't get the funding, but we're not going to give up. If we applied to four last year, and we got funding on two, I'm okay with it. But we're never going to stop maximizing our state funding. Any funding that is out there, we're going to go. And I'm going to tell you, this superintendent and our teachers and our board is not just going to do a traditional school district. We're going after above and beyond. We want our students to be, and we're starting a robotics club in elementary. We're doing now tapping into a designation for early college high school. And what did you do last year, Dr. Casas? Because it cost money, and we wanted to make sure we had the right partnership. I had just gotten in here, and we started to, without a designation, offering dual credit courses. This year, we're going to go in after that designation, just like Fremont, without having to tap into a label. You know what I mean? Having to be struggling as a school district. And you know they struggle in two areas. Now that I'm talking, this is a truth. They were struggling financially and academically. Our district is academically successful and moving towards more goals. Last year, we had only one designation. This year, we have doubled our designations. There was only one campus that had a designation, and that was our high school. This year, our high school had one more designation that we lost because of attendance. We got it, But because of attendance of our students, we didn't get it. But if you look at that, academically, we made it. Our junior high got two distinctions as well. So we went from one distinction as a district to three distinctions, potentially four. So we are having three. So we triple. Next year, there is a commitment at every campus that we will be getting more. Well, if you remember last year, I saw one campus potentially, and I was not wrong, there was going to be potentially be required improvement. We met all the requirements at the state, but you know at the federal level, with a no child behind, yes, it did away, but there's still more additional accountability. We are one focused campus. What is this telling us? If you don't watch it, you can be required improvement. We're not going to get there. That is our commitment. And we are struggling on retaining teachers because there's districts, just like Fremont, that have those fundings that were not eligible because we're not a struggling district academically. And I'm okay with it. I'd rather be academically standards, meet those, than having to go into academically struggling to get those fundings. But we will continue. Our commissioner, trust us, they will continue to maximize. And that is the reason why we're having to do this. We can maximize our state funding. Locally, we're going to pay the same. We're doing the same effort. We're just asking permission to swap. But I trust me, I have a record. Even in Mathis, we got grants, and we go after grants. And we're going to continue to do that. There is, and that's why we're looking, not only for our district, there is, and I'm going to be quiet about it because I don't want any other neighbors go after this funding, but there is a potential grant at the federal level to go after $6 million. And I spoke to Judge, but the timing that we find out, it was a month ago, and we need a approval from one higher education, and that will be Tamuk for us, a higher that goes beyond the 2 years. We started now, and that's why we're going to be knocking on your doors again. So we can go tap into $6 million. It has to be for the center of the district, but we need the city, the county, and all the stakeholders. That's $6 million for our community. And you know what we struggle the most? We don't have too many things right now for our children after school. As of right now, we offer tutorials Tuesdays and Thursdays. As of right now, the district is applying for a grant that we can provide dinner for our children after school. Because I know for a fact that some of my children go home on an empty stomach when they get home. And they'll come back on Monday the next day hungry for their breakfast and lunch. And I don't want to label you qualify, you don't qualify. Everyone universally will get a dinner at the end of the day. We will have to provide something after school. We will be offering that after school. And our kids, it would only take away 10 minutes. So we're going to extend 5 minutes instruction so we can distribute a dinner. What would the dinner compose of? It may be a hamburger, a slice of pizza with a juice or chocolate or milk, a fruit, and some other, you know what I call it, two sides. But it will be able to carry on a set lunch. It can be chicken tenders. It could be a hot dog. It could be a corn dog. But it's still a nutritious meal that I know for our kids, all of our children will have. I know that some of our children go home and mom is waiting with a meal. But some of our children go home and they will not have nothing, only an empty stomach for dinner. And that is not going to happen. So we're applying, sir. It may not start it right now, but I promise you that as soon as we get an approval, we're going to do. And this is what I'll be criticized, but I'm okay with it. This superintendent will inconvenience adults to take care of children first. It will inconvenience having to go an additional 5 minutes because we have to give at least 10 minutes to distribute this. I don't want to jeopardize instruction. So we'll extend 5 minutes so we can distribute. and the kids can go. If they're going for the parents, can go to the cafeteria while they're waiting for the bus. They can eat it on the bus. But our kids are going to go home with a meal, with a dinner. That's our commitment. It's not a superintendent alone. I just get hired to come up with ideas that maximizes our learning for our children. And children with healthy bodies will learn more. I really hope that you can join us. It's critical that they see us together. And please, don't make this about me. And I tell them, I know some people are happy with this superintendent because I made recommendations to the board to make a reduction. And I said, don't penalize the children because I have to make courageous decisions. Don't take it on children. You can take it on me. I don't read topics, but I've been told I make topics. I want to educate our children that social media has a way to do it. But we have to educate our children how to use social media ethically, and they stand by you. And personally, that is not an appropriate social media. And that's what I teach children. I tell my staff, I don't worry about it. I worry what my board says, what my community says to me, to us, in an area of one-to-one, was a group. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
I can talk and talk, but you believe me that I'm very grateful to you and humble by allowing me to be here today.
Thank you so
Thank
much.
Thank you so much, ma'am. Very inspiring.
I love what I do.
Thank you.
I will get up right now and follow me. Not before I'm out. And you have to be because someone like you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, line item 7, do you have a motion to adjourn?
Royer.
Motion by Martinez, second?
Second.
Second by Garza, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion approved. Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Casas, for coming.